in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Started up, that is your Friday, that is your final weekend of July. And the final couple B&E shows.
Which today about. Will be my final show.
Today is?
Yeah, today is my final show, my final blitz.
This is it for you?
This is it, yes.
Okay, well.
Should be fun.
It should be fun. Let's make it a good one.
You know, when you were talking about the hardcore rock and roll stuff, you know, Motley Crue, I wish I would have gotten more into Motley Crue because by, you know, as you said, that was during your early stage. My early stage was more of Johnny and Edgar Winter, Jethro Tull, Led Zeppelin, of course, Deep Purple, Cream.
So you were, yeah, because you were, when I think of Motley Crue, I think I'm 14, 15 years old.
Yeah, yeah, that's
I'm
me.
I'm buying like rock and roll magazines at the food center.
That would be me.
And I was the kid that was like taking out the pictures on and putting like stapling them up on my wall.
Oh, yeah.
I had this whole collage of my favorite bands and in addition to the sports posters and whatnot.
Ian Anderson and Jethro Tull I thought were unbelievable.
Well, that makes sense because you were 15 in 1970.
Yep.
I was 15 in 1985, 86, 87 in that wheelhouse. So that's really.
I was intrigued by guitar play, and I thought Jimi Hendrix was, there was nothing better than Jimi Hendrix and Edgar Winter and Johnny Winter playing the guitar. The true whiteys, the real whiteys out there, they could play now. They could go. Edgar Winter was fantastic.
The true whiteys.
They could really go.
Somebody said Motley Crue should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I agree with that, by the way. I think, you know, as they were a rock and roll band. I mean, they were causing trouble and
Jimi Hendrix was hard to. That was hard.
See, that predates me, but my brother was a huge Jimi Hendrix fan, and then my brother actually, who was in a rock and roll band and played guitar, taught himself to play the guitar. He introduced me to Stevie Ray Vaughan because he was a huge Stevie Ray Vaughan in the 80s before I'd ever heard of the guy, and then of course he dies in the helicopter crash tragically.
And I didn't know much about that till I came to the state of Texas as a grown up.
I'm so happy for my mother showing me good music as a kid because I grew up on like Jimi Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, like you said, Janis Joplin, all that good stuff. It's
all that crazy stuff.
My siblings, all they listen to is all that electronic music, and they don't even know who Jimi Hendrix is, I don't think.
See, way to thank you, Mom. All right. Jenny. We've had Jenny on the show.
That's right.
Yo Mama Joe.
Jenny from the blog.
Okay, so a lot to get to. We just got confirmation. Bobby Burton's going to join us coming up inside Texas. We mentioned in the first hour he had the report about maybe Gary Patterson considering some type of return to the Longhorn coaching staff. Training camp begins next week. We'll ask Bobby what he's hearing and what the latest is. Also his thoughts on this Colorado move. But I've teased it a couple times, but let's get to it for the headlines. Buck, as far as comedic movies go, comedy films, 45 years ago today, this movie was released in theaters. Here we go. Give me a clip of that there, T.Y.
Where are the other two? Stratton and Schoenstein?
We looked everywhere, sir, but...
Never mind. It doesn't matter. Have you gentlemen seen your midterm grades yet?
Well, they're not posted yet, sir.
I've seen them.
Mr. Kroger. 2 C's, 2 D's, and an F. That's a 1.2 grade average. Congratulations, Kroger. You're at the top of the Delta Pledge class. Mr. Dorfman.
Hello.
0.2. Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son. Mr. Hoover, president of Delta House. 1.6. 4 C's and an F. A fine example you set. Daniel Simpson Day. Has no grade point average. All courses incomplete. Mr. Blutarski. 0.0.
Now I want you to tell Mrs. Stratton and Mr. Schoenstein exactly what I'm about to tell you now.
What's that, sir?
You're out. Finished at Faber, expelled. I want you off this campus at 9 o'clock Monday morning. And I'm sure you'll be happy to know that I have notified your local draft boards and told them that you are now all eligible for military service.
There you go. Animal House.
Number
Animal.
One. Number That's- one for me.
That's number one?
That's always been number one. Number one would be Animal House, and then Friday, then Caddyshack, then Hangover, and then Coming to America.
Well, you know, the debut of Caddyshack was 43 years ago, just earlier this week.
Yes, yes.
So late July has been a good place to drop great comedies in the past, and that's a pretty good one. Let's do one more. Let's do one more because it's your number one all-time comedy. And, of course, this one does feature a little bit more from the great late
John Belushi.
John Belushi.
We're all officially kicked out of school. Wormer just got our grade. Wormer just grades.
They kicked us out of school? Huh. That makes sense.
Hey! What's this lying around? Well, what the hell was supposed to do, you moron?
War's over, man. Wormer dropped a big one.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough... the toughs get going! Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
Hey! Oh, God. Toga, toga. All right, so there's the Animal House. 45 years ago this day, July 28th, it hit movie theaters. And
the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor. That's great.
By the way, I did look yesterday to try to find some tickets to see that movie Oppenheimer this weekend. It is sold out everywhere. Like, literally sold out. Like, when was the last time a movie was?
You have to wait a little bit.
I know. It's unbelievable. For like weeks.
We're going on a date, remember?
I know. That's why I was trying to find tickets.
That's right. You got to find that date. You gotta get those tickets.
I mean, obviously, I looked at the IMAX. I knew that would be all sold out because it only has two showings each
day. But I have to see it in the IMAX.
I know. I kind of do, too, but I want to see it.
That's what Monty said. I trust his opinion.
Me, too. I'm with Monty Williams, but no doubt about that. But, yeah, sold out all across the area.
Two of my favorites, Animal House and Caddyshack.
Yeah, came out in the same week, 2 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
143 years ago with Caddyshack, 145 years ago with that classic right there. 1978 hit the movie house.
Yeah, well, one of them, somebody's going to have to go out. I mean, I really enjoyed Friday, but I may have to throw Friday out for Blazing Saddles. There's no way I can leave Blazing Saddles out of the top five comedies.
Yeah, that's got to be there.
Of all time for me.
Well, you know what? Speaking of Animal House, I thought...
Because when I put my cowboy stuff on, I look just like the sheriff.
The sheriff. Excuse me, but you know, sometimes we don't consider contemporary comedies because these are so nostalgic and old school.
Yes,
but I thought, speaking of old school, I thought the movie Old School was hilarious. I
mean, oh, yeah.
That's on my list.
I think
sure.
It's obviously along the Animal House
and Step Brothers
lineage with
big Will Ferrell guy,
with you know, older guys starting their own fraternity
sure.
on a campus, and I mean the scenes. I mean, I think Old School,
Wedding Crashers.
Wedding Crashers, Old School. Wedding Crashers up there for sure. And I think The Hangover, the original Hangover, you know, last the test of time for sure.
I do too. Yeah, I put that in top five for me.
Let's get to your headlines, though. Trending topics. We're going to talk to Bobby Burton, too, get his thoughts on this Longhorn camp, which opens next week. Big 12 moving and shaking. But first, the headlines. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Yeah, conference realignment. Told you yesterday it was all but a formality, and we were correct. The University of Colorado did vote unanimously to leave the Pac-12 and will rejoin the Big 12 next July. School's Board of Regents formalized that yesterday. The move comes with full approval from the current Big 12 members and their TV partners to give Colorado a full share of the Big 12's media rights deal, which starts in 2024. That means $31.7 million in annual revenue. School's chancellor and athletic director both insisted yesterday, though, that money wasn't the only factor. Both emphasized the ability to get greater exposure by playing earlier time slots for their football games. And the move to the Big 12 will also provide new head coach Deion Sanders and his staff immediate recruiting advantages. In the NFL, early training camp injuries, the headlines, unfortunately. Cincinnati Bengals star Joe Burrow carted off the practice field after he came up hobbling after a scramble late in their afternoon workout yesterday. Head coach Zach Taylor later said it was a calf injury. They will evaluate and have no more today. In Miami, meanwhile, Dolphins cornerback Jalen Ramsey suffered a left knee injury. He's going to have a surgery on his meniscus there. It's 6 to 8 weeks, his recovery time. He will miss the start of the regular season, most likely. Dallas Cowboys, a couple of early injuries as well. Starting safety Donovan Wilson suffered a calf strain during the team's first practice on Wednesday. He will be out 4 weeks at least. Cowboys rookie tight end Luke Schoonmaker, second-round pick out of Michigan, is going to miss the first phase of training camp because of a foot injury. The head coach, Mike McCarthy, said predated his joining the Cowboys. They're hopeful he'll be back at some point while they're in Oxnard. Baseball, Astros and Rangers enjoyed the day off. First-place Rangers open a series in San Diego tonight. Second-place Houston will host Tampa this weekend, and a big one in the American League. Also, last night, Round Rock dropped another one in El Paso. Second straight night, they've lost in walk-off fashion. 10-9 to the Chihuahuas in 10 innings.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Somebody's, or they got to be happy in Boulder today.
I think they are.
Well, wow.
Somebody said Airplane is over Earth. Caddyshack. Yeah, I think Airplane has to be in the mix. No doubt about that. Come on, Ty. Don't mention Step Brothers in the same breath as Old School. I agree with
Kidding
that.
Kidding me?
I think Old School's higher level. Higher level. Please show some love for This Is Spinal Tap. Were you a Spinal Tap guy?
No.
I wasn't either. All right, let's go into the Coach's Corner. Drop into it. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations. That's Tom McKay and his great crew at AV doing great, great work and have for a long time. Thanks for all their partnership over the years here on this show. But let's go to the Vaqueros Hotline. He is what's your title over at Inside Texas, Bobby? You're the publisher or, you know, executive, whatever?
I'm a columnist these days.
Okay.
I am a partner, but I'm a columnist primarily.
On Three Sports Inside Texas, the great Bobby Burton with us here on this Friday morning. Bobby, I hit you up on the text line because I was thinking I read your story this morning about Gary Patterson, that you're hearing that some rumblings that maybe Gary is considering a return to the Longhorn coaching staff in some capacity. What's the latest?
Yeah, he is, apparently. He's turned down some overtures elsewhere. He had an opportunity this offseason to go to Lincoln Riley and USC. He turned that down, and he is contemplating, it appears, a return to Texas. It's a kind of an interesting situation. He's got about 3 or 4 days here to make up his mind before Texas breaks for fall camp on August 2nd. But Patterson clearly had an impact last year on the Texas defense. They went from 50th in the FEI rating for effective defenses in 2021 to up to 11 last year. A lot of that had to do with some coverage differences that they made in the secondary. And then also, I just think that, you know, Steve Sarkisian, in my opinion, guys, has been fairly open about, hey, if you can help, you can help. Come on in. I mean, guys like Paul Christ joining your staff, Joe DeCamillis is a former Wisconsin head coach, Joe DeCamillis, a former special teams NFL assistant. He's adding guys that I think add to the coaching room from a high level. And obviously that's what Gary Patterson does on defense. So it would be right up Steve Sarkisian's alley to add Gary Patterson once again in Austin.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby, you think this is part of Gary thinking this is a great opportunity with this team? I mean, he got a chance to see what it's like, and he understands how talented it could be. I mean, and maybe work his way back into a head coaching job, or is this just something that Kelsey says, get out of the house, get away from me. This is just too much. You've been around here too long.
I think it could be both, right?
Yeah.
I think it could be both. I will say this. You know, he had a good time from – talking to a couple friends close to him. He had a really good time in Austin this past fall. He enjoys Pete Kwiatkowski, Jeff Choate, Blake Gideon, Terry Joseph, Bo Davis. He enjoys that defensive staff. He just thinks they're a bunch of good guys, right? And Bucky, you know this. I mean, some guys are just lifers, right?
Yep.
I mean, they love the grind. They love the camaraderie in the locker room. It's just what they're made for. And as I've explained it a couple different times, I just think this is the guy. I mean, he doesn't want to leave a whistle. You know, he wants to stay as long as he can, enjoy it. He's got a great life. He's been well taken care of financially. He can do just about anything he wants to do. And he wants to go somewhere that A, he's wanted, and B, that he thinks he can make a difference. And I think that he feels that way about the staff at Texas. And so I think that's where it's at. I think it's a little bit of both, maybe.
Mm. Hey, Bobby. Bobby Burton is with us inside Texas on 3 Sports. To Bucky's question, do you think from people you've talked to that Gary Patterson would like to lead a program again and get back to that? He's in his early 60s. He certainly has the resume and what he showed last year. Do you think that there's a chance he finds his way back to a top program?
Yeah, absolutely, I do. I mean, I think that's what he wants to do. He did it for 20 or so years. He put his name in the hat at Nebraska last year. They ended up going with Matt Rhule. That would have been an interesting fit because I think he could have reestablished Nebraska from a recruiting perspective in the state of Texas, which they've really lacked in the last decade or so since they left the Big 12, and has really hurt their program clearly. Listened to Arizona State a little bit last year, I believe, before they went with Kenny Dillingham. But yeah, I think that he wants to. I think the further he gets away from being in a position of authority, though, the harder that becomes, right? Once you're out, it's kind of hard to get back in. I will say, like, a program like Houston, if Dana Holgorsen has a bad year, might be a good fit for him.
Yep.
But I think that Oklahoma might be hard, given that you have Jeff Traylor out there and maybe Joey McGuire, who are on the up and up right now, whereas Gary Patterson might be seen as a short-term fix. So it just all depends on the fit, in my opinion.
What do you make of Colorado's move? Obviously, not a huge surprise. Brett Yormark and the Big 12 have been courting Colorado for a year now. And, of course, Colorado, like all the schools in the Pac-12, waiting on some type of media rights deal or proposal that they can vote on. But obviously, it never came or hasn't come yet from George Kliavkoff at the Pac-12. Doesn't seem like there's the money there to put a deal in front of them. So Colorado makes the jump. Give me your thoughts on Colorado back to the Big 12 and what it means for Deion Sanders and the Big 12. And then what do you think the next steps are for the Big 12?
I think that it's a bright move for Colorado. Not unlike Nebraska. The minute they left the Big 12, they left their recruiting grounds, the real true recruiting grounds they had in Texas. Back when they were recruiting Texas in the late 80s, early 90s, they had guys like Canavis McGee and Alfred Williams out of Houston. Andre Garode was a center for them that played 10-plus years, I think, in the NFL out of Houston. They lost all of that. Now, they've recruited some in Texas since that time, but they didn't have that true presence. And Deion Sanders, obviously, I think, will help them in that regard and his ability to recruit, especially in the Dallas area. He's got a good name up there. But I think it's a good move. My question now is, what happens next? Does the Big 12 reach out to, or are they able to convince a Utah, Arizona State, or even Washington and Oregon to jump aboard? Or do they have to go to teams like Memphis, UConn, something like that to add to the conference next? And I don't know the answer. I think that those answers kind of lie in the ivory towers of Arizona and Utah and those types of places. I feel like it was a good move for Colorado, and I think it was a great move for the Big 12 as well.
Bobby, for a team like – I mean, I know Coach Traylor is going to be the next big thing, period. I mean, I just think he is. The things he's doing down at UTSA. While the Big 12's grabbing teams from the Pac-12 – I mean, the coach himself is fantastic. The team has been fantastic. Is that not a desirable Big 12 school right here still in the state of Texas, or is it just not have enough flair to it, enough population, enough people that put in the stands?
Buck, you went in and out there. I'm sorry about that.
Is Coach Traylor not just himself as a fantastic young coach, but a coach that with his team like UTSA – we're looking for teams in the Pac-12. Is a team like UTSA, who's been winning, is it just not enough? They don't bring enough eyeballs? Because the coach does, because he can coach.
Oh, interesting. So you're saying maybe them go to the Pac-12?
Oh, no, maybe them come to the Big 12. Why not?
Yeah, I think fandom, and I don't think
okay.
that – look, I don't think that Baylor, Texas Tech, and Houston would want that at this point. Or TCU. They kind of have – They feel like they're going to be the second group in the state of Texas behind Texas and Texas A&M, and they feel like that's solidified now. The Pac-12 actually might make some sense depending on what that conference ends up looking like.
Right.
So they have a foothold in Texas along with maybe an SMU.
But he's not staying, Bobby. He's not staying there. That's not the long haul for him. I know he's got a great contract. He's been winning, but he's the next big thing. He's going to move on out of there. He's not sticking around there much longer, I can't believe.
I don't think so either, but at the same time, he's got a great contract. He got approached by the Nebraskas and the Arizona States. Now, it wasn't that he couldn't have gone after those jobs. He didn't go after those jobs.
Right.
Right. And so I think he thinks the state of Texas is where he needs to be and where he wants to be. So if A&M or Texas ever comes available, possibly a University of Houston for him as well, if those jobs come available, that's when I think.
Bobby, we're breaking up a little bit, but great stuff as always. Love reading your stuff at Inside Texas and On Three Sports, and appreciate all the conversations over the years. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Bobby.
Aaron, Bucky, y'all take care. Have a good one, man.
There's Bobby Burton.
Hey, UTSA, just not enough flash there, is it?
No, it's such a new program. I know what you're saying. It's just I think there'd be other schools, and it doesn't expand the footprint. That's the number one thing I think Bobby's saying. That if you're the Big 12, you already – you're not going to have the University of Texas, but you're already going to own Texas with the four schools that are in this. If you're going to expand, you're going to expand the greater footprint.
Yeah,
of
he's
the
not
going to
be
conference.
Around there very long.
No. Well, I really think he's waiting on the A&M job. I really do. I mean, he's an East Texas guy. I mean, you know, Gilmer in high school. And, you know, this guy, if Jimbo Fisher doesn't get it done, and I know, I mean, the fact that we're talking about this and more people are talking about this, maybe Aggie fans come to the idea that this is the next big thing. Don't miss the train on this guy. If Jimbo Jimbo Fisher thinks they're going to have a great year down at A&M this year. They've got a five-star quarterback who's ready to go. They've got their entire returning offensive line, best receiver core, maybe in the SEC this year. Five-star running back to hand it to, and what they hope is an improved defense under DJ Durkin. So, you know, they need to be better. But if things go off the rails again like they did last year, Jimbo Fisher's going to be done. And if Jimbo Fisher's done, Jeff Traylor's going to be a big name. And don't think Gary Patterson wouldn't want to put his name in that hat.
Are you kidding me? For sure.
And the other name you'll hear is Urban Meyer. I mean, if A&M moves, they're not going to then – and that's where, you know, would you take the young coach like Jeff Traylor, who's making his way and knows this state like the back of his hand and knows every high school coach in it, or would you take, you know, go after Urban Meyer, the big fish who's been to several spots but is a known commodity and proven winning coach but comes with a lot of baggage? That's going to be the discussion. But, again, A&M, first things first, they feel like they can
– sure.
They're going to be better this year.
Yeah, as Bobby said, they're better off if they had a chance to go, them being part of the Pac-12 going that way.
Oh, UTSA?
Yeah.
Well, then that would expand the Pac-12's footprint. That's what the Pac-12 should have been doing – years ago,
right.
to get themselves into the central time zone, get themselves into the you know, spread their reach
mm-hmm.
out of the West Coast time zone and out of one time zone conference. That's a big problem for them right now when it comes to media right negotiations. So there's Bobby with the insight. Thanks, Gary Patterson is considering it. And as he said, you know, the clock's just ticking. It's coach time. I remember when Todd Dodge, who coached Ty over there at Westlake while he was there. You know, Todd Dodge is a lifer as a coach, right? I saw him at an event that, you know, the summer that he retired, and he said, you know what, I booked my wife and I are going to take an RV, and right in August as it starts, we're going to go RVing through the
just
West.
Got to get away, get out
he
of
said,
there.
I just know if I'm around,
oh, yeah.
I can't, I'll be wanting to go hang out at practice and just be around it. I'm intentionally getting away. I'm just not going to be here in August, and then I'll come back and go to some games when the season starts.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I'm sure that was not easy for you when you got out of coaching. And it was – and for Gary Patterson, this is what he does. And you know what? Hey, it's time to go to camp. It's time to go to camp. And, you know, I had a good time at Texas. And I think Bobby laid it out perfectly, that he put his name in the hat for some jobs. You know, he's not going to take any job right now, Gary Patterson.
Oh, no, he's not going to build a program. He's been through all that.
He would, but it's got to be the right program. Got to be right.
Nebraska. Yeah.
You know, he'd be in on a U of H next year if Dana Holgerson's out. But at this point, he's comfortable here. His wife loves Austin. He loves that, you know, that defensive staff, as he said, he's tight with. and you know he still wants to stay around the game. But guess what? He didn't have to be around the team all through the spring and through the summer. He got some time away. If you follow Gary on Twitters and the Instagrams, he took some vacations and got away from it. But it's that time of year, so we'll see if Gary Patterson does rejoin, which can only be a benefit to the Longhorns.
Oh, for sure.
With the
especially this year,
the analysts they already have, and his familiarity with that coaching staff and that team for a second year. So we'll follow that story. Longhorns go to camp on August the 2nd and begin training camp. Steve Sarkisian will actually have a news conference on Monday to preview camp, and obviously we'll have full coverage of that as well here on The Horn. Coming back, we'll pick up these conversations. Your thoughts on what the Big 12's next move should be. Can the Pac-12 survive, and where do you rank Animal House on your ranking of all-time great comedies? It was released 45 years ago this day, July 28th, 1978. It's B&E on The Horn.
Roll another. Yeah.
Oh, good. It's Bucky and Aaron.
Yeah, Afro Man 49 today. That's the.
You like that, huh?
Tyson, you said you picked him up at the airport at one point.
Yeah, I saw him at Fiji and in college. He was a good guy.
Afro Man,
a lot of good concerts at that place.
Just 49.
How many times when he played at the Fiji House did he sing this song?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
For obvious reasons.
That's one of those you would sing over and over again. It's the anthem. Hey, so as you heard at the top of the hour, if you're with us, the Buck has announced today will be his final show. And I will be back on Monday and Tuesday of next week, but you will not. But so this will become an emotional conversation this morning. But say goodbye to the Buck. And decision been made that you will not be back on Monday or Tuesday of next week. Those will be
sir.
The final 2 days of the Horn as we know it. And as we announced earlier in the week, I'm going to be back beyond that, but in a new role and a new capacity. But it's been a blast, my friend.
Yes, it has. And thank you to all. I appreciate all the love. Absolutely.
No question. Okay, so talking to Bobby Burton, Gary Patterson maybe pondering a return, and we'll see if that develops. Also yesterday, University of Texas hosted their annual pool party, the Texas Bash. Over there on the 40 acres, that's where they bring in a lot of the recruits that are currently committed to Texas, but also class of 25, 26 type players, and show them how the program operates and get behind the scenes. Then they have a little bit of a pool party and barbecue and whatnot. I'm assuming Casey Studder was a part of cooking for that event.
Oh,
he typically is. But they had some of the big names in. And that's always a smart move, Buck, I think, to bring in kids who are currently committed to you that planning to be Longhorns when you're trying to lure others and they can mingle and, hey, why'd you pick Texas and what do you like about Texas and those kind of things. But how about you'll like this? Do you see who was on campus? In addition to Jordan Washington, a tight end from Houston Langham Creek, Nate Kibble, an offensive lineman from Atascocita High, he's already committed to Texas, as is Jordan Washington. Daniel Cruz, the offensive lineman from North Richland Hills, he's also already a Longhorn commitment for 2024, as is Trey Owens, who's the quarterback from Houston Cy Fair out in the Cypress area. He was there yesterday. And then the ones that they're trying to get for 2025, including a legacy that I know you're going to know and I know, Landon Rink. Landon Rink is the son of Shane Rink.
Shane Rink's son?
You remember Shane?
Oh, my goodness, do I ever.
Yeah, Shane was a buddy of mine through high school and through college while he was playing at Texas. And his son, Landon, is on that really talented Cy Fair team that is quarterbacked by Trey Owens. And actually, Shane is a coach there. He's a coach at Cy Fair right now on the defense.
They let him
staff.
Get that close to the kids, huh?
If you knew Shane in high school and into college,
boy.
You wouldn't have believed that. But Shane is a good dude, got a great family down there, and his son was here. So, yeah, Landon. And he's a big-time defensive tackle prospect, just like his dad was. I always say, when I was in high school, Dan Neal, who was a year behind Shane and I, he was the best offensive lineman, obviously. And then on the defensive line was Shane and Sam Adams, who, of course, went to A&M and won the Lombardi Award and played 12 or 15 years in the NFL.
Those pregame meals look like in high school.
We had a pretty good D-line. We had a pretty good team. And Shane and Dan Neal would actually line up on the defensive side sometimes and just totally harass people.
Take those knees out.
I mean, we were hard to beat. I don't know how we didn't win the whole thing. But either way, that's the way that goes. But a lot of texts coming in, and obviously we can't respond to all of them, but I know it's going to be tough moving forward. But
forward, we must move on.
And as I will say to all of you, you are why we show up every morning and do a show. It really
absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely.
You know, it's as I've said all along through this process, it's more than a job. The career I wanted to be in when I began come out of college and even into college, and the fact that I've got to work with you, Buck, for 24 years, and you know, chemistry's hard to find in a relationship and in a in any employment endeavor. And you and I had great chemistry on the air from the very beginning.
Well,
and,
as Colonel Flowers, the former Colonel Flowers, would say, you know, you don't just get respect; you have to earn respect. And I think we've worked hard enough to earn the respect of the people that listen to this show. It's been really, really an awful lot of fun. More for me, fun and the stability of having you around to make sure that I'm kept in a certain pattern, not to go off too far off the direction. But and Ty, you will continue to learn from all these things that E has to offer you. So take advantage of them. Believe me, take advantage of them. It's hard not to do. As he said, this is what he grew up to do.
Well, or what I wanted to do and grow into. I will say that it was a dream. And then when I hooked up with you at the Zone back in the late 90s is when it really became a reality. I was in radio at the time, but trying to make my way, kind of like Ty is now, and met you, and bang, the show took off. And next thing you know, we're in the
mornings. Had all those old dudes down in Houston area that you listened to.
Well, I grew up listening to sports radio. There's no doubt about that. And I remember telling my parents, early on, I mean, this is the 80s, back when I'm listening to Motley Crue. I mean, but my parents, well, God bless them, there was no sports radio. I mean, there were news talk stations that would do a sports show.
Just AM, correct?
Yeah, only on AM. And so I'm on the weird kid listening to Motley Crue, but also, and what I really fell in love with immediately was watching a game and then listening, they would do the post-game call-in show.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I loved that. I don't know what, it was just the immediate reaction. And I never ever one time called a post game call in show, but I listened to them, whether it was the Astros or the Rockets. And, you know, the 80s, the Rockets were real good. They made a couple runs to the NBA Finals and had Hakeem Olajuwon and that group. And Oilers were terrible through the 80s, so not as much. But then they got better as I got older into high school in the Warren Moon years. That was my.
I can imagine you sitting by the radio after those games, and just listening.
Well, y'all are the reason that I wanted to be in the radio because I grew up listening to y'all. And among others, but I always in the mornings and when y'all are in the afternoons listen. So,
well, thank you.
It's a very sad day for me as well.
Me too.
See you go, Buck.
Well, this is suggesting do a podcast. Well, I would love to do a podcast with the Buck at some point as he plans his future and what it's going to be. That would be, and I know it would be really well listened to and well liked and be a quality product. So hopefully that's something that can happen down the road. But not the end, just a new beginning, I guess, is the way I would put that. And
not a goodbye. I'll see you later.
Well, as fate would have it, Buck, everything happens for a reason.
Yep.
And, you know, as someone who wanted to get into sports radio, how about this, Buck? I was committed to go, I wasn't playing sports, but I was committed to go play, I was going to go to Stephen F. Austin to go to college coming out of high school. A lot of my buddies were going up there in Nacogdoches, and it was my mom who, I didn't even apply to St. Edward's. My mom did, because my brother was already here, and she was hopeful that maybe we'd come up and I'd come up here. And, you know, for whatever reason, late in the decision-making process, I was like, you know what? I'm going to St. Ed's. I don't want to go off to Stephen F. I don't want to go. Because as it got closer and closer, more and more of my high school friends were making that decision. I was like, I don't want to go up there and just hang out with all my old high school buddies. It'll be like high school all over again. I like all those people a lot. But let's go. The only person I knew in Austin at the time was my brother.
Did he go to St. Edward's?
No, uh-huh. He was 2 years ahead of me. And he was already here. And so I was like, all right, well, Rick's here. I'll come up here, and we'll think about the fate of that decision, Buck, is that while here, the Dallas Cowboys decided they wanted to have their training camp at St. Edward's University. And as someone who wanted to get into sports radio,
perfect.
And there really wasn't a sports radio industry at the time that you could just, you know, come out of college and dive into. There weren't, you know, it was just forming. Well, that's where I got to, cover Cowboys camp and see the ticket come to town in the middle 90s and see the radio stations, KRLD and all the radio stations would come to Austin and set up in the RCC and do their shows. And so I got to sit there and watch that and then learn from them of how you do that. And as someone who was aspiring to be like them, that was a huge course correction for me. Like, okay, that's how they do that. Get to know those people. And then, of course, that led to you know, right out of college, I got a lucky break. But really, the turning point for me was meeting you and, building a hit show, which is not, you know, that also was fateful. So thank you, my friend.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that would say they started me. Ed Clemens, of course, you know, the great Ed Clemens would say he's the guy who started me in it with me doing on Monday nights when John McAvick did not want to do, you know, the after show, after University of Texas football games. He said, would you do this? And I would go on with Ed Clemens for about 30 seconds because Ed would say, okay, Buck, we'll see you next week. I'm like, Ed, I didn't even get to tell you that much about it. Oh, all right, don't worry about it. We'll talk about it again next week.
Did you have any aspirations to do radio?
Not really.
Or just, you just, I mean, went just coaching from, and then got an opportunity and took it?
Well, yeah, I mean, like Lease Hudson and E, and of course listening to Craig Way being around, you know, over at the university from doing Craig Way, but I never thought that this would
approach you?
Yeah, it was a way to communicate to
people. Well, remember, you left there. Coaching and then went into being in the agent business.
The dirty business.
The dirty, and that lasted
a year.
Year or so. And
I'm like, no way, this is nasty. This is really for real nasty.
Yeah, you thought recruiting was
seedy.
But that business wasn't for you. So you came back to Austin. Your family, of course, was here at the time, all your kids and ex-wife. And so it was Lease Hudson, I believe, our current market manager, who knew you from the old KLBJ days when you were doing that with Ed Clements and gave you the opportunity. But again, like you were doing, you started with, like, I think, a night show, and then they put you in the afternoon, and that's where I came in to do the zone updates.
I think John Madani was a program director at one time.
No, there's Chuck Meyer.
It was Chuck
Monkey
over there.
Chuck. Monkey Chuck hired me and brought me in, and you had already started doing that afternoon deal, and it was about this time. It was August of 99, Mac Brown's second year at Texas, when we first started to crack a mic together, and that, you know.
Was that Buck on Sports?
It was the Buck on Sports. That's exactly right. It was called the Buck on Sports. That was the name of the show. And it was. And then E was there, you know, doing his thing. And then, that led from, as we said, it was a one-hour show. And we were only there to do...
We were the buffer.
Like, we were carrying the Jim Rome show at the time.
Learned a lot from that dude, too.
Jim Rome?
I loved the way he interviewed. I mean, it wore you out a little bit, but the way he interviewed, I mean, I thought he was a great guy.
Jim's going to wear on you, but he's a very talented radio.
Yes, he is, absolutely.
And still doing it.
And my favorite, of course, Larry King.
So Jim Rome would end at 2, and then the afternoon stars at the time at the Zone were Craig Way and Bill Schoening.
Mm-hmm.
The previous voice of the Longhorns and the current voice of the Longhorns were doing a show, but they didn't want to start their show at 2 o'clock, so they needed a buffer. They needed some filler.
they needed a filler
to get from 2 to 3, because they were happy to go 3 to 7, but they didn't want to go... you know, 2 to 7. So we did that hour, but it took off, and next thing you know, we were 2 to 4, and then they were 2 to 5, and Craig and Bill were getting mad at us, and then they threw us in the morning. Said, why don't you guys do the morning show? And that was it.
Love the mornings.
And that is true, too, because I've always been a more of a morning person than afternoon as far as getting up, being ready.
I'm definitely a morning person now. Wasn't before.
People ask me that all the time, and I'm sure, Buck, you're up early. You'll be up early regardless of what
you do. Yeah, it won't matter.
Me too, though. I like to get up and get going and, you know, get the day rolling, which is so it's fit both of us. But at the same time, people ask, do you get used to it? And I'm like, no. I've told Ty this. You really never get used to getting up at, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, day after day after day, you're now, if you could do that under the weekends where you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning too, which is you do, your body just gets
you up. I do one day, essentially, for Saturday shows.
Yeah, it's just the way it is with your body. The tough thing will be, how do you stay in bed past 3:30?
Hey, I went to Deep Eddie last night, and I was home by 10:45. You'll be proud of me.
Thank you, sir.
Would you just grab a pizza and come back? Yeah, good job.
Just hanging out.
This says, remember when you guys used to take calls and arguing with the Buck was the best? Yeah, we did.
Taking calls.
That was eliminated at some point. But it's been a fun run. We'll talk about it throughout the course of the morning, and obviously we'll keep you posted on the details.
I'm excited to get in. I only know if we have some days left in the second week of August, but 23 years of sobriety. And that's because, well, I mean, as I said, my friends, the Texas Cheaters, you, and this audience, I mean, kept me well in line of keeping my sobriety, which was so – I mean, it's one of the main things in my life, because if I can't keep that, I can't do anything else. I'm no good. I wouldn't function. again. So,
well, no such thing as a former addict, right?
No.
Once you are, and it's a daily grind.
Absolutely.
And, you know that all too well. And, yeah, I think the stability of this show and the stability of these listeners and the structure it creates for your day, and then going to play golf with the Texas Cheaters. No doubt about it, man. It's been a heck of a run. We'll come back. We'll pick up the hot or not topics, things we've missed halfway through this historic edition of B&E. Coming back.
What's hot? And what's not?
What's Hot, What's Not is brought to you by Texas Orthopedics, the largest independent orthopedic practice in Central Texas. Visit us at txortho.com to learn more and to schedule an appointment.
Hot Not B&E with you as we roll forward. Things we've missed halfway through this show. It's already been a pretty busy one, and news made. We'll continue to reset that conversation with you throughout the course of the morning. But hot, not hot, Joe Burrow, another training camp injury. This guy is always hurt this time of year. He's one of the best players in all of football, probably the second best quarterback in the league right now behind Patrick Mahomes. But he has a calf injury as he hobbled off and then was carted off back to the locker room yesterday during their late afternoon practice in Cincinnati. We'll see what the level is. Obviously, the immediate thought was maybe an Achilles of some kind, but they say calf injury. We'll find the magnitude of that, I would imagine, at some point today. But, Buck, he had the appendectomy last year that knocked him out of training camp. That was on the right after the first practice. He went and had an emergency appendectomy, and he wasn't right into the first part of the regular season, if you remember.
Yeah, when he came back with his bad knee, they didn't play him. They let him play a couple plays, and that was it. That guy works pretty well without training camp so far. But I don't know, this calf deal, as Ty said, you don't know where this goes. I mean, is this Achilles tear possibly? But they're calling it a calf injury. But they're talking about some time, though.
I've been digging in, and I haven't seen anything as far as a timeline. Just everything I see is further evaluated and MRIs and things of that nature. But obviously they'll be all right if he can get back. I mean, he's still got 5 or 6 weeks before the season's going to begin. But as you said, their early schedule is difficult. It's not an easy schedule. They play some big conference or division games to start. And, so we'll see where this goes. But not hot. Also on the hot or not side, how about Sean Payton? I mean, the new coach of the Denver Broncos. He's coming out surly, taking shots at Nathaniel Hackett, the previous coach in Denver, taking shots at the Jets. He called what he walked into the previous year one of the worst coaching jobs in the history of the NFL. And I think a lot of it was...
You better be able to fix Russell Wilson first, coach.
Well, I think that's what he's trying to do, is prop up Russell Wilson and let people know, hey, this wasn't all about Russell. This whole thing was dysfunctional. This place was a mess. They had no clue what they were doing. And so don't just give up on Russell. He didn't just completely regress. He's still a good player. But we'll let you hear some of what Sean Payton said yesterday. They also play
the Jets in like week 5 or 6 too.
They do. That's gonna be all in. And he took shots at the Jets, and of course Nathaniel Hackett's now there.
Yeah, he took direct shots at the Jets, saying this is all a gimmick. Doing what they're doing. They're just trying to be preseason heroes or whatever, and all this stuff with Aaron Rodgers. And now they got to play him. Wow.
Yeah. Fun.
Have y'all ever seen the video of Sean Payton ripping a bong with like 16-year-olds?
Where would you see that?
I'll send it to you.
Yeah,
it's on Twitter. I think it's from a few years ago, but it's clearly like one of the son's friends taking a video. I'll send it to you. It's hilarious.
Well, he's trying to bring some what he would call a winning approach back to Denver, which he says they lost their way last year. And look, I mean, I'm not sure why Sean Payton is going this scorched earth towards the Jets and Nathaniel Hackett, and we'll read his comments coming up. But he's a proven coach, and if you watched the Broncos last year, and gosh, they were on primetime so many times, it was hard not to. They were one of the worst coached teams you've ever seen. I mean, they really were. What he's saying, we all watched.
Yeah, they couldn't even get out of the huddle at times.
Yeah, they couldn't get out of the huddle. As he pointed out, they had more pre-snap penalties than any team in football last year, on both sides of the ball. And Sean Payton talked about the things they allowed to go on. Remember, we had Russell Wilson with his own office separate from the locker room. And, we're going to fix all that. But Sean Payton is coming in heavy, coming in hard. I think a part of it is to you know, prop up the confidence of his team and his quarterback that, hey, you got the right coaching staff now. This wasn't all about you. This thing was dysfunctional. Remember, they're having fights on the sidelines with linemen and quarterbacks, and that was a mess of a football team. But we'll see. Is Sean Payton the right fix? If he is, that's still a pretty talented team. That Russell Wilson is still a pretty talented quarterback.
Right.
And you're obviously in a division that includes, you know, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, so you better be pretty good. But we'll see. Sean Payton.
I don't – coaches taking shot at coaches is kind of
– yeah.
Why?
There's a protect your own conversation that goes on there.
Yeah, I don't understand that one right there.
And you might say it to your other coaching buddies, right? You might call your coaching guys
on
your
text
chain.
That's another one of those first tee. That's at the tee box deal.
You can't imagine just how what a mess this place was. But not often do they do it publicly. And
you got to play them. Wow.
All right, we'll get back into that. Ty, what do you have? What have you missed?
Well,
what have we missed through this first half of the show?
Do y'all call iced tea ice tea or iced tea?
Ice. Ooh. Just ice.
I mean, you're talking about the wrapper or the
beverage? The drink.
The beverage, iced tea, just iced tea.
I had to think about it. I think iced tea is the way I say it.
I think I call it iced tea.
Well, 49% of people say it's iced tea.
Really?
20% say iced tea. And 27% say both is all right.
I think both is acceptable. I don't think there's one that has to be.
Are you a sweet tea or unsweet?
I'm a sweet tea.
Unsweet for me.
I don't drink tea of any kind, actually. I like hot tea on a cold day.
Is iced tea the same tea that's hot? Or is it just a completely different kind of tea?
I think it's the same hot. It's just cooled down. I mean,
it's outside of my...
Like England, like the tea they drink in England?
Oh, yeah. High tea. High tea.
It's just iced?
Yeah. The queen never drank that. She drank bourbon. I don't
martinis.
Know. She had martinis. She never messed around with tea. The queen.
All right, let us know, because I know there are some iced tea connoisseurs out there who love their tea when they go get their barbecue, sweet or unsweet. Let us know on that. You guys know more than we do. Most things anyway, but certainly on the tea side of things. We'll be back halfway through a Friday edition, getting you into your weekend. It will be Bucky's last show, as he's announced earlier, so we'll continue to have those conversations and say goodbye to what's been one heck of a run. It's B&E on the Horn.